Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save. Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is continuing live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Did it come to your attention, based on the medical records, that at the time of Dr. Lewis's interview of her, that Maya was heavily medicated and in the midst of her first relapse?
That's my understanding.
Do people generally perform well when they strike in? You were also asked about the effort she made 2-3 years ago. What is the problem with Maya not even completing a college application in her senior year?
Yeah, I knew that coming in here today. I already talked to her about that, and it's very alarming. She's going into her senior year. I mean, kids started at sophomore year, junior year. They're starting to visit, and it just provides all the validation I need as to where she's at. I mean, she should be in 10 different colleges right now. At her pick, at her choice. She's not even applying to them, which is scary, and it's very concerning.
And in fact, she took the SAT once as a freshman in high school and has never taken it again. Come to your attention.
Yeah, I mean, she's avoiding. It's just classic, unfortunately.
And have you had the opportunity to see videos of Maya's progress over the course of the spring of 2016 and the summer of 2016, as the jury has?
Yeah.
Can we please bring up Joint Exhibit 1024-0028, that is Dr. Kreisman note dated May 11th, 2016. You were asked about a visit to Dr. Hanna, I believe, in early May of 2016, about 4 days before this. I'd like you then, I don't know if you recall this record or not, but if we could scroll down and let the witness take a look here.
What page is this?
Well, I'd like him to look at page 29 of 31, which is actually 0029, and more importantly, 0030. And I'll direct your attention to the physical examination.
I remember reading this.
And did it come to your attention that Dr. Kreisman is a Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital physician, a pulmonologist to be exact, right? And so here, 4 days, 5 days after seeing Dr. Hanna and complaining 10 out of 10, how is she doing according to this physical examination by a Johns Hopkins doctor?
Well, she's much better. Yeah, I mean, it says it all. I mean, I can read it into the record for my answer, but he says it's a totally different kid than what was previously seen. So,
again, in a matter of 4 or 5 days.
Yeah. Again, it speaks to the absolute importance of treating this early on and to see what you can do. And so, again, I think when I was questioned a little bit earlier, it's just, again, underscores the opinion that she was a freight train. She still is a freight train, but she's got a lot to get over now. You know, there's a lot more in front of the train tracks now than there was before.
All right.
She's completely a different child from when last examined.
Yep.
No pain, smiling, interactive.
Can you also look in the page before and note that Dr. Kreisman went over the various medications that Maya had had over the past few years, not at one time. And then down below, see whether Dr. Kreisman had any problem with the medications Maya had been on or tried over the course of the preceding 4 years, 2 years, excuse me.
Sorry, objection is outside the scope and also foundation.
Overall.
You're asking about the efficacy of the medications? Is that what you're asking?
Right. Does he doesn't put up, he doesn't question the use of any of these, does he, in his report?
Yeah, no, and again, it speaks to care. If a young child with a disability needs medications, they need medications. Again, it's to make them better,
and
not
look,
worse.
And on the top there, does it appear that Dr. Kreisman, a Johns Hopkins All Children's doctor, understood that Maya remains under treatment for reflex sympathetic dystrophy, also known, of course, as CRPS?
Yeah, it used to be RST, now it's CRPS, but yeah, it's here in black and white. Yep.
Interestingly, are many of these dangerous and, what was the term? Dangerous.
They were dangerous and unnecessary drugs was what I was told earlier today in my testimony.
Horrible drugs like vitamin A and vitamin C.
Yeah.
And Tussinex.
Yep.
And magnesium oxide.
Yeah, Flonase for asthma.
Singular. Aren't most of these simply over-the-counter
mm-hmm.
medications?
Claritin, a lot of supplements. Yep. Asthma-related.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, your testimony is grounded not only in Dr. Kirkpatrick, but it's grounded in Dr. Henschke. Is that right?
I mean,
Dr.
Henschke,
Chopra.
Brewerton. Rebecca Johnson, Brewerton, all the other treating and expert physicians. Absolutely, I talked to them all. And it's important when we're making life-altering decisions about somebody that I do talk to people, right? I could be impulsive as well.
Let me, sorry, I need to make a correction. I just looked at the note, and actually the visit to Dr. Hanna was on May 13th, 2016, where she complained of pain of 10 out of 10. And so how many days difference then? Did Dr. Kreisman see her and she appeared to be doing just fine? In fact, better than he'd ever seen her. And then going into Dr. Hanna and having severe pain.
I don't have it in front of me. You have a date range for me?
It's 2 days.
2 days.
3 days.
So treatment works.
Mm-hmm. And so is this the essence of CRPS?
100% across the board. Absolutely. They flare up and they get treated and they get back after it.
Yep. And finally, just to eliminate any confusion here, the baseline you were testifying to from which you judged the diminished earning capacity, that included CRPS, but controlled CRPS, did it not?
Yeah. So again, I really wanted to explore and make sure from the doctors. Would she have been interrupted much at all if but for the captivity for 97 days? And it was always, if she was treated and there was no disruption, she would have been well on her way with limited impediments.
Let me rephrase that. I'll rephrase.
Approach.
Okay, I've been handed a note from the jury that they want a break, so we're going to take a break. Members of the jury, do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do any investigation and receive no information. Let's try to keep it to a 10-minute break.
All right.
Jury is out of our presence. Any issues we need to address before, hold on a second, don't go. Any issues we need to address before we go on a break?
No, Your Honor.
No, other than Your Honor knows my position on a curative instruction, but otherwise
not. And sir, you're in the middle of your testimony, so do not discuss your testimony with anybody.
Fair enough. Just leave it.
You can use the record.
Judge, may I have one exception to that with counsel's blessing? I wanted to instruct him to ensure that we never
both have. Of you can be together when that happens.
Perfect.
Okay. 10 minutes, everybody. Fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah. They're stapled together, but they're back.
I think your court has copies as well for us.
Yep. And what I'll do is can I pick up Sarah. Thanks, both of them. Okay, and where are we at this point? Are we ready to bring the jury back? Are there any issues we need to discuss?
We're ready, and I'm just going to stay away from it. I don't know if I can reemphasize anything. I've got two more questions, and that's it.
Thank you. We're ready to proceed.
Okay, let's bring in the jury. Members of the jury, I want to confirm while you're away, you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves, you did no investigation, and received no information. Is that all correct?
Correct.
Mr. Anderson, you may continue.
Your numbers, were they based on Dr. Kirkpatrick's August of this year reevaluation of Maya Kowalski?
In part. Yep.
And in terms of determining whether this freight train is going to stay on track, can you tell the jury what problems there might be given Maya's expressed fear of hospitals and even just certain medical providers?
You know, they're when I look at this and answer that question, I keep looking for alternative paths to guide her for her future, and I keep running into roadblocks along with each path, each creative path that I take, because of the synergistic relationship between the pain issue from CRPS and the PTSD, and how they just chase each other around and around. And then you take the PTSD alone from all of the different things when she's in public, when she's at work, people look like people from Johns Hopkins. People have the same jewelry. They wear the same color clothes. Again, for the third or fourth time today, just the ticking clock. So all of those types of things, as well as the one of the most, I don't know how to characterize it objectively, but I'll just say it plainly. The issue from Dr. Brewerton, and this is from my clinical experience as well, about the reconfiguration of her neurobiological responses with a developing brain. So she's not the same person today as she would have been without the trauma.
Is that why your opinion is guarded?
Very guarded. Yeah, very. Yeah.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Nothing at this time, Your Honor.
Members of the jury, do any of you have any questions for this witness? Okay. Go ahead and write them out. Of the jury, let me go ahead and ask the questions. As a vocational coach, will you continue to work with Maya, or will Maya continue to work with a vocational rehab coach throughout her life?
That's a great question, and really, a coach counselor, really, it is counseling, vocational rehabilitation counseling. I absolutely recommend for her to have ongoing counseling now for her whole work life expectancy, and I believe that will be a lot of the counseling is addressed in the life care plan, which you're going to hear about after me.
Next question: the more Maya goes off track as time goes by, will it become harder to get her back on track?
Boy, you guys got good questions. You really do. 100%. I mean, when we go back to Dr. Kirkpatrick, the Maya that was, we will never meet. We'll never know Maya. The Maya we have now after the trauma is a different Maya than how she was born. She's altered, absolutely different. So the longer she deviates, the she'll never catch up to the gap, right? If she was on this trajectory, she's always going to be kind of behind. We're now looking at her in her senior year with all that academic prowess. Not even one single college application. That's alarming. So, yes, absolutely, the compounding effect. And I did talk to Dr. Kirkpatrick quite a bit about that. In her 30s, life issues, marriage, kids. If she chooses to have kids, I don't know. Because, you know, she's going to fear about them being taken away and going to a hospital while pregnant. I mean, how is she going to trust anybody? So, yeah, absolutely, it's a tough, tough road for her, and that's why it is so guarded.
Any further questions?
No, Your Honor.
No, thank you, Your Honor.
Okay. May this witness be excused?
Please.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And Mr. Anderson, your next witness, please.
Dr. Bifolco. Status, Dr. Bifolco.
Stand here, face the clerk, and raise your right hand.
You solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
All right, good. I'll have a seat. I'll witness stand.
That's why we're there.
Well, it's 3:20 on Friday, so I'm going to be as fast as I can.
Yes, sir.
I'll get this out. Please state your name for the record.
Santo Stephen Bifolco.
And are you a medical doctor?
Yes, sir.
And where is your practice?
Tampa, Florida.
And what type of doctor are you?
Well, I'm a medical doctor. I'm a specialist in an area of medicine called physical medicine and rehabilitation. Physical medicine rehabilitation is also known as physiatry, not podiatry, not psychiatry, but physiatry. Physiatry is made up of four areas of medicine. orthopedic medicine, not surgery, neurology, physical therapy, and pain management. In addition to having practiced in that specialty for 33 years now, I am a board-certified life care planner, physician life care planner, and I've been doing that for more than a decade.
All right. Can you tell the jury a little bit about your background, training, and experience? I've gotten a few things to them, but start with undergrad and work your way over.
So I know it's late, and I'll give you the short version. After high school, which is 12th grade, I went and trained for an additional 12 years. We call that 24th grade. Those 12 years began. So I started this journey in medicine 44 years ago when I finished high school, when I came to Tampa, and I started my undergraduate studies. So the first 4 years after high school were undergraduate or pre-medical studies. I went to college in Tampa, got a degree in biology. I applied to a number of medical schools. I was accepted, but I chose to stay in Tampa at the University of South Florida College of Medicine. So the next 4 years of that 12, I was in medical school, University of South Florida College of Medicine, 1982 to 1986. I finished medical school, and I was given a doctorate degree. But doctors don't have enough training or education or knowledge to practice medicine. We are required to do at least 1 year of additional training. I went to New York, lived at a 1,300-bed level one trauma center where I did a four-year residency. First year was internship in internal medicine and cardiac care and emergency medicine. And then the next 3 years of that 12 years, the final 3 years of the 12, I did my residency in physical medicine and rehabilitation, where I worked along those doctors that later hold themselves out as orthopedic surgeons, later hold themselves out as physical therapists, later hold themselves out as neurosurgeons and neurologists. So after completing all of that training in 1990, which was 33 years ago, I relocated back to Tampa Bay, and I've been in private practice in the Tampa Bay area since then.
Okay. And in addition, like you said, you're a life care planner. Why don't you explain to the jury a little bit about what that is?
So a life care planner is someone who has the requisite training and experience to write a life care plan. What is a life care plan? Well, a life care plan is a dynamic document that's based on standards of practice and a methodology that's been around for a long time, since the mid-1970s. And it really started as a case management tool for individuals that have chronic, catastrophic, or permanent injuries. And it was a way to educate all members of the treatment team, as well as family members and an injured person, as to what the trajectory of care should be over someone's life. So a life care plan answers three questions. What does someone have? What does someone need? And what will it cost? So it's essentially a care plan, which every doctor, when you go to a doctor, they always do a care plan. The difference is a life care plan adds a couple of factors. It adds the care over someone's entire life, not just between now and when I'm going to see you in the office again, and it adds cost. And so a life care planner is someone like myself that's gone through the necessary training, has the experience and the knowledge, and I'm board certified. I've been certified twice as a life care planner. So that is a national certification. I see patients from all over the country and even outside the country. So that's what a life care planner is.
Got it. All right. We're talking here about PTSD and CRPS. Two questions. The first one is, have you had sufficient clinical experience with a CRPS to give the jury some idea of how, second question, as a life care planner, this presents difficulties, opportunities, or affects it?
I have treated individuals with complex regional pain syndrome for the last 33 years in private practice, as well as post-traumatic stress disorder.
Okay.
I see it frequently in my practice.
How often, just out of curiosity, do you see CRPS plus PTSD? It kind of sounds like an unusual.
It's not that common. And when it is present, the problem is it's not like 1 plus 1 equals 2. It's 1 plus 1 equals 10 or 11, because those two things potentiate each other. But it's a great question. We see complex regional pain syndrome often because I'm a trauma physician. So I see these kind of injuries, and I see post-traumatic stress disorder often. But you're right. You don't see them together all the time.
All right. And where are you licensed to practice medicine?
I have an active and clear license in Florida, of course, California, and New York.
And are you certified in any
yes.
areas? In what areas?
So I have specialty certification, of course, and I'm board certified in life care planning. I have specialty certification in disability evaluation. I have specialty certification in interventional pain management, which means that I could put a needle in most areas of the body in order to reduce pain.
It seems to be more and more the case. Do you do those, what do they call the denervation surgeries at all? You know, where the nerve burns. What is that called?
Well, so you brought
well, I had one. I was just curious.
Well, radiofrequency neurotomy or radiofrequency ablation.
Okay.
So physical medicine rehabilitation is a non-surgical specialty in that I do not do surgery with a scalpel. But it's a surgical specialty in that the definition of surgery is anytime you pierce the body cavity, that's surgery. And I pierce the body cavity a lot because we do all kinds of injections. So by virtue of the injections, those are all surgical codes. But I'm not a surgeon in the way that a neurosurgeon or orthopedic surgeon holds a scalpel.
Got it. All right. So what was your job here? What was your – and before I ask that, were the, your results and were your results provided to our economist here, Christy?
Absolutely. Okay. We communicated. I provided my report. And as you heard this morning, I've been here all day. She based her numbers on my report.
All right. And to the best of your knowledge, and have you worked with Mr. Trent before as well?
I have.
All right. And were his numbers also provided along with yours to Christy Kirby?
Yes.
And do they form the basis of her numbers that she gave to the jury here?
Yes.
All right. So now tell the jury what your assignment was with Maya Kowalski, and then I want to get into what you did. So that you can inform them here today of your opinions.
Yeah, my assignment was quite simply to independently evaluate Maya Kowalski, to be available for expert testimony if I was called. I was retained in this case more than 3.5 years ago, to independently evaluate her and to be able to formulate the necessary opinions to outline the care, treatment, and cost of her care over her lifetime.
All right. And so what did you do towards figuring that out?
Well, I have approximately 75 hours into this case, so I did a lot. First and foremost, when I'm retained, the first thing I do is I make sure I don't have a conflict. I am retained by both defense and plaintiff counsel. Make sure I don't have a conflict. I did not. Then
How did we get together? Just so
actually, I think that I testified and you were opposite. You cross-examined me. You were on the defense. You're on the opposite side.
Right,
and
yeah.
I testified. Yes.
Ahead, sorry.
So the first thing I do is I request all documents in the attorney's file that hires me. And I call that factual information because the methodology, the three basic steps of the methodology that I follow are facts, opinions, and conclusions. So before I could arrive at sound opinions or final conclusions, I have to have enough factual information to be able to arrive at sound opinions. I never know or never assume that I have every piece of factual information. In this particular case, Maya was very young, but I see individuals across the entire spectrum. So I never assume that I have every record in the universe, but I request every document. That means thousands of pages of medical records, which I reviewed. Lots and lots, maybe 25 depositions, which I reviewed. Interrogatories, medical bills, basically every piece of factual information which counsel can disclose to me, I ask for and I review. That's the first thing I did. Then I asked to evaluate Maya Kowalski. I wanted to have an opportunity to see her in my office, but that was not possible. So I had 4 telemedicine visits with Maya, her father, her brother, but I only evaluated Maya. But I wanted her family involved so I can get an accurate picture. In addition to those telemedicine visits, I spoke with her treating physicians on a number of occasions. I spoke with them, I communicated with them, I reviewed their records, I reviewed their updated records, their reports. I coordinated my opinions with Mr. Tramp. So essentially, when I say factual information, it's all of that. And then I apply my training, my education, my experience, and my knowledge so that I could start to now move from facts to opinions. And those opinions are Does Maya have a permanent injury? Yes. That's the first criteria. I can't move to writing a life care plan unless she has a permanent condition. Then I have to ask myself, does Maya Kowalski have a permanent treatable condition? Because if she doesn't have a treatable condition, then a life care plan doesn't make any sense. So she met that criteria. So I start now to move on to opinions. If she has a permanent injury, and if she has a permanent treatable injury, I start to then formulate what are the categories of care. And I do that not just by relying on my own training and education, experience, and knowledge, but I reach out to, and I read all the medical records, and I specifically asked her doctors on multiple occasions, tell me what Maya Kowalski needs because of the trauma she sustained. So it's clear to, it's important to understand the care plan is not to treat her complex regional pain syndrome, which she had before the trauma. It's to treat the condition and the conditions that she now has as a result of being traumatized. And that's the...
Your Honor.
It's going to take a few minutes. Can you go back to the room? Do not discuss this case amongst yourselves. Do not do any investigation and receive no information.
All right.
Jury's out of our presence. Doctor, if I could have you step outside, please.
Yes, Your
Honor. Everyone, feel free to sit down. Okay, the doctor is outside of our presence. The jury is outside of our presence.
Yeah, the defense would like to make a motion to strike his testimony. I took his deposition. I asked him this question three times, starting on page 41. Quote, in terms of what Maya was going to need, irrespective of encountering Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital in October 2016, you have not developed an opinion. True? Answer, that's correct. And just to make sure I wasn't missing something, I asked him the same question at page 46. And so whether Maya Kowalski was going to need attendant care, regardless of the treatment at All Children's, you're not making that determination. This is only based on what her needs are now. True? And his answer was, so I think you've asked me this question a few times. I have no opinion. I'm not going to speculate about what Maya would have needed but for the subject tort. And there was no discussion with her treating or consulting physicians regarding what she would have needed had this not occurred. Same question with regard to her psychological needs. Are you making a determination of what she needed but for the treatment at All Children's, or is this, again, just what she needs without any reference to that discussion? Answer, there's no determination, no speculation on my part is occurring about what she might have needed had it not been for the events in 2016 at All Children's Hospital. I couldn't have confirmed this more with this witness. I was never notified that he was going to show up at court and say, all these treatments in my life care plan are a result of, you know, mistreatment, whatever he wants to say at All Children's Hospital. It's a surprise opinion. I moved to completely exclude his testimony. I moved to strike his life care plan. If he's going to proceed at all, I would like the questions to be very clear that his opinions are only, this is what she needs now, but I'm not alleging it's due to anyone's negligence. This is completely unfair.
Your Honor, those opinions and those questions and answers strike me as the inverse of the position the defense counsel is taking. Those sound to be responses that Dr. Bifoco has not formed opinions as to speculate as to what she would have needed prior to All Children's. He's confirming in those answers that his opinions account for the trauma at All Children's. That's how I understand those answers and those exchanges.
Not only that, we provided them with an opinion, with a report in this case, which stated, and a disclosure, which stated that he was going to testify as to all of this.
Well, let me see the report that was.
When was that dated? I got a report last night. There's a report dated August 29th, 2023 that I was forwarded some additional materials last night around 7, if that's what it was included in. I moved to strike.
We sent it to you.
Well, it's dated August 29th, 2023.
Let's go with
something that was timely produced under the court's order, not something that was given to them a couple minutes ago.
There was an order from this court that we could provide supplemental reports of our life care plan or voc rehab, and so there's a specific order on this.
So is this?
And this is the one that would.
Is this timely under that order?
Okay. I need to go back and look at the.
The order, though, was because their numbers were going to change. Sorry.
First off, is the report that's in Mr. Anderson's hand, is it timely under the court's order?
I'm going to look at the date of the order.
Okay.
First order, I haven't done the first report either.
Report, maybe. Let me see that.
And while they're looking, I would note for the record that his errata sheet is empty, so he didn't attempt to change his opinion either.
Well, I mean, if it was in his original report, then it's a question of impeachment. It's not in his original, or if it's not in a timely disclosed report, then we might have a different issue.
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
The reason they were allowed to give new reports because they said the numbers would have changed given the fact that the trial had been delayed, not because they have new opinions or expanded opinions. And so the court allowed them to do, for the life care planner and the economist, new reports because of the delay of the trial and new numbers.
A disclosure, I'm confident, because that was the entire purpose of the witness, Your Honor, that
you can find a disclosure.
I've located our expert disclosure from 2021. I hesitate to bring it up yet because I'm in the den for it, but I can tell you the date.
Tell me the dates.
October 15th, 2021.
Well, how about his actual report? If you're talking about the plaintiff's third amended expert witness disclosure, that's DIN 1912.
Received from them is the life care plan projections that are replete with notions in here that what is required for her is a result of CRPS, which was entirely consistent with his testimony. For example, I mean, this is the one that was even provided to me that was provided last night, but it was dated August 15, 2023. Page 6 of his report is all about what he needs because of CRPS. None of this is about exacerbation. I received this last night. My point to the court is,
I understand your point.
I get it. I'm frustrated. I apologize, Rick.
It seems to me, Judge, that this is going to take quite a while. It would have been nice if we knew this was coming up, if counsel had some idea that this would be a major issue, that we weren't discussing it at 3:45. We may need to go home and look through everything we've got and find out what's up. But I am confident, because he's a life care planner, about Maya Kowalski's condition. The only reason we would have him would be to comment on why she has these based on what happened to her at Johns Hopkins. There's no other rational conclusion in this. And so I question whether this is truly surprise and whether this is truly some kind of prejudice here, or whether we're the victim of a gotcha unprepared. Because if I had known about this, I would have gone through the entire history of the experts. This case went to trial, not to trial, but this case went 3 days, 4 days before trial, a year and a half ago. And I know at that point we had made full and complete disclosures. I didn't hear anything at that time, and I didn't hear anything in the pretrial here. Now we are in this situation, and I'm certainly not going to give up on the witness's testimony. I suggest that I be allowed to complete the deposition, and then if we can't prove to the court's satisfaction and counsel's that, yes, he was informed that my life care plan expert was in fact going to testify about a life care plan as a result of a tort, then we can move from there.
Respectfully, Mr. Whitney, who's a fantastic attorney, was at this deposition, and you can see the reason why I asked Dr. Bifocal this three times, to the point where the third time I'm like, I'm sorry to keep harassing you about this. I want to make super sure you're really not going to come to court and say this is because of what your hospital did. You're just saying this is what she needs. He couldn't have been any more clear. If they wanted to make a change to this, they could have done their errata sheet. They could have said, hey, Mr. Shapiro, he's reconsidered. It wasn't my obligation to tell them, but their life care planner conceded to me at their deposition when respectfully Mr. Whitney listened to this and did not cross him to try to rehabilitate him on the subject.
Again, I read the question in a shade of different. The report, the initial report, is from February 5th, 2022. Our legal assistant is printing it, but we can display it for the court. Go ahead, next page. Can you enlarge it, perhaps?
Just, and for the record, while you're reading this, I deposed him after this to ask him about these opinions, and that's when he conceded. This is not a subsequent disclosure trying to account for his testimony. I had this report. I had his life care plan.
My thought process, Mr. Shapiro, is I first want to know is if some semblance of an opinion was disclosed in the expert report
about what he testified to here. And so just go to the next page. Are you going to be able to show me anything close to what we need to see?
Sure. Go to the first page again. The purpose of my evaluation was to assess Maya's current issues related to the incident that began on October 7, 2016, when she was separated from her family and retained at Johns Hopkins Children's Hospital for 97 days. He's been instructed not to get into the fulsome 97 days. But go ahead. Let's go down.
Keep going.
Maya has suffered a traumatic event that will have a lifelong impact. He's describing there his opinions again. Life care planning, certainly related to the traumatic event that began on October 7th, 2016. I mean, it's just inherent in this report that these are his opinions.
Well, that's what his report's about.
If the court would prefer.
So on page 5 of this document, it does say the life care plan in this update outlines the minimum care Maya's needs within a reasonable degree of medical and life care planning
certainty related to the traumatic event that began on October 7th, 2016, which would exclude the onset of CRPS originally. I agree with Mr. Shapiro that this deposition seems to be replete with opinions that might be at odds from this document that I'm looking at on the screen. The issue to me, though, is it a surprise? And if you had the written report, did you ask about, hey, your written report seems to be at odds to what you're saying?
Respectfully, the whole reason why this is so complicated and respectfully convoluted is because we have testimony in this case from people like Dr. Chopra and others who will say and have said CRPS is this lifetime permanent condition, right, that will never be cured and that Maya was going to need care for the rest of her life. So my plan coming into Dr. Bifolco's deposition was to try to get him to say how much ketamine, how much rehab, how much PT was she going to need as a result of her just having CRPS versus how much was she going to need as a result of whatever re-injury or whatever lapse in care that you're going to allege. But what Dr. Bifolco said unequivocally to me three times, and the reason I asked it three times because I was in a little bit of disbelief, but if he wants to say, Mr. Shapiro, I am not coming to trial to tell the trier of this fact that my life care plan is related to a trauma at All Children's. I'm just coming to say this is what she needs. I can't do any more than that. And that's why I asked him the question, not once as a gotcha, not twice, to the point where you can literally see in the transcript, I'm saying, I know you're sick of me asking this, but just to triple check. And this is exactly what the Binger rule is designed to prevent, is an expert, after his report, I get his opinions, he says, I'm not going to testify to that. Mr. Shapiro, I promise you, under oath, my entire report is based only on what she generally needs and not based on what your client did. And now he's taking the stand at trial.
Well, what you just said, are those words in here, or is that your interpretation of those words?
Those are his exact words in the deposition. I would encourage Your Honor to read it again.
Can we point Your Honor to page 30 of the deposition?
Leave that back up, please.
Yes, sir. At page 30, beginning at line 4.
And then Mr. Shapiro?
You can see how it continues, but then I ask him, in order to take into account the damages that are solely owing to the incident at All Children's Hospital, you would have to determine what she would have needed had she never accounted for her visit. True? He says, that's not true, and I give him an example, and then I finally say, so are you going to come to trial and say, this is what she would have needed before, and now she needs much more after? He said three times to me, no.
Well, if the question is unfair surprise, when the witness at page 30...
I'm sorry. Please go ahead. I apologize. It's late.
I'm happy to... If there's anything else you want to say, I'm going to listen totally to what you have to say, then I would ask for the same courtesy of
yes, sir.
Listen to me. So is there anything else you would like to say?
Only, just again, for the record, the questions after he initially said that on page 30... I asked him three times to confirm at pages 41, at pages 46, and at pages 47, the exact question that's at issue. Again, this is only based on what her needs are now, not because of what she went to All Children's. Same questions with regard to her psychological needs. Are you making a determination of what she needed but for the treatment at All Children's, or is this, again, just what she needs without any reference to that discussion? And his answer was, there is no determination, no speculation on my part is occurring about what she might have needed had it not been for the events in 2016 at All Children's. And so, again, I apologize for my demeanor, Your Honor, but it's very frustrating to me because now a witness is about to take the stand. I've had no opportunity to try to separate out what would she have needed before and what would she have needed after, because he conceded that's what he wasn't planning on doing. Thank you, sir.
The court has before it the defendant's motion to effectively strike the testimony of the expert, Dr. Santos Stephen Bifocal, on what the defense contends are undisclosed opinions, specifically the opinions relating to the type of damages that Ms. Kowalski sustained at the hands of the alleged conduct of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital, and not the just general, hey, she has CRPS and the type of treatment she might need in the future. There has been testimony replete throughout this trial about the exacerbation or activation of a defect, latent defect is kind of the legal terms and what the jury instructions go to, about the conduct of Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital has made and will permanently make Maya Kowalski's conditions worse. I understand where Mr. Shapiro is coming from because, and I will totally agree, that there seems to be several passages where Mr. Shapiro did specifically ask that, you know, try to separate out, or are you going to try to separate out, please keep that up, try to separate out what was the alleged conduct responsible for versus what she had just as a generalized condition. So the question is, was the defense surprised by Dr. Bifocal's testimony here? Now, the reason why I wanted to see the report, and this going back to the original report from, looks like February of 2022, on page 5, it specifically says, the life care plan in this update outlines the minimum care Maya's needs within a reasonable degree of medical and life care planning certainty related to the traumatic event that began on October 7th, 2016, which excludes the beginning of her CRPS. When we look at Dr. Bifocal's deposition on page 30, at lines 9 through 17, the life care plan takes into account the incident that occurred at All Children's Hospital, and that being the major contributing cause for the need for future care. That is the major contributing cause. And as I spoke with her treating and consulting physician, that is the focus. In other words, what does Maya need as an individual, as a human being, now that that has occurred? So the question is this an unfair surprise? The court has to say no because we had a written report and Dr. Bifocal said that in his deposition. Can the defense impeach him based on his statements, multiple statements? Absolutely. I'm sure they will. But it's not a unfair surprise. The court is going to deny the defense motion because it's evident based on both the report and earlier in the deposition that the defense was on notice that he was testifying relating to damages caused by Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital's conduct, alleged conduct. So that's the ruling. Let's move on.
What do you call Dr. Bifocal?
Let's go bring in the jury and bring in Dr. Bifocal. Is it Bifocal or how do you say it?
Bifocal.
Bifocal. Okay, everyone, please be seated.
Members of the jury, I just want to confirm that you were aware you did not discuss this case amongst yourselves, you did not do any investigation, and you did not receive any information about this case. Is that correct?
Correct.
And that no one approached you about this case. Is that correct?
Correct.
And have you seen any media coverage since we were last together?
No.
Okay. The court is overruling Mr. Shapiro's objection, and Mr. Anderson, you may proceed.
I hesitate to ask for you to read back the last question. You want me to just ask another one? It's right. I'll ask another one. All right. All right. Let me get to opinions here. I think we were talking about the basis of your opinions and the fact that you had read a number of depositions. Which of the physicians, I'll ask you, which of these physicians you relied upon in formulating your plan? Dr. Kirkpatrick?
Yes.
Dr. Brewerton?
Yes, of course.
Dr. Henschke?
Yes.
Dr. Chopra?
Yes.
And, Rebecca Johnson?
Yes.
All right. Now, after that after reviewing these matters, I want you to, again, refresh our recollection about what you were asking about in these what do you call them, telemedicine visits? Is that what they're known as?
Telemedicine encounter.
Yes. Tell the jury what you were looking for and what you found out in those.
I was gathering factual information as part of my analysis. Those three steps are facts, opinions, and conclusions. Before I could even move on to sound opinions and conclusions, I have to make sure I have all the factual information. And part of that is, as a physician, as a medical doctor, I have the capacity and the responsibility and the ability to evaluate Maya and to confirm that what the other medical providers have seen and done and heard is actually what's going on. So as a medical doctor, I did that. Now, I didn't have, unfortunately, the opportunity to examine her with my own hands. I did invite her to come to my office, but as you heard, for weeks, she is cautious of physicians, and I understood that. And so we opted at this time to do a telemedicine visit, and I spent a lot of time with her on Zoom, face-to-face, interviewing her, asking her, confirming all of the things that her treating physicians told me, all the things that are in the medical records. I wanted to confirm that with my own eyes and ears. Is this true? Once I did that, and I was certain that I had enough factual information, then I moved to sound opinions, and I started to explain what those opinions were.
All right. If we could, let us go through your opinions. If you need to refer to your notes to begin with, I think this is at page 3 of your report, or you can direct me elsewhere.
So there are actually two parts to my report. There's a narrative report, which is just typed words, and then there's the care plan, the life care plan. Which would you like to look at?
Can we go through just very briefly the basic recommendations in your narrative?
Yes.
And the support there? So we have some context for the life care plan.
I would refer you to the very last page. Well, the last page is a signature page, but that's page 7, where the first thing I say is, what is a life care plan? And I've told you that the lay definition is it's a report, it's a dynamic report because it changes as things change, that answers three questions. What does Maya Kowalski have? What does she need medically, and what will it cost? But there's a stated definition, and that definition is, life care plan is a dynamic document based upon published standards of practice, comprehensive assessment, data analysis, and research.
Your Honor, I object to him just reading from his report.
Okay, I sustain that.
You can just summarize it very quickly.
Okay, so what does she have, what does she need, and what does it cost? And then I say, what are the goals of this care plan? and I state what the goals are. And then I move into my opinions and conclusions.
What were, I know you've said it in micro, in macro, what were the goals for this young lady?
There's five objectives. The reason you treat someone, anyone, with a permanent treatable condition are five things. Number one, you want to reduce her pain and suffering despite what happened to her. You want to increase her quality of life. That's the reason why we treat, despite what happened to her. You want to help Maya Kowalski reach her highest level of function and her highest rehabilitation potential. And perhaps the most important of the five is the reason you treat or implement this care plan is to help her avoid avoidable complications, things that will more likely than not occur if she's not treated.
So, yeah, was the idea here, strike it, based on your clinical experience and your studies, is CRPS curable or is it a manageable disease?
It's not curable. It's a lifelong condition that is incurable. It's manageable.
So are the one of the purposes of the life care plan to find the best opportunities to manage this, to maximize the patient, in this case, Maya Kowalski's abilities to function normally in life?
Yes.
All right. So then let's move, unless you have, you'd like to add anything else as to the background of it that the jury should know, into your life care plan and how you, well, just explain how you came to it and what it is.
Well, how I came to it was I considered everything you sent me,
right,
everything I learned from my multiple telemedicine interviews, and everything I learned from reading all of the medical records and then speaking with and communicating with her treating physicians. That's how the life care plan in this case was created. It came directly from her treating physicians by me asking Dr. Kirkpatrick, Dr. Brewerton, Dr. Wassenaar, tell me what Maya Kowalski needs within a reasonable degree of medical certainty. I'm not asking them to predict the future. That would be speculative. I'm asking them to tell me within a reasonable degree of medical certainty and probability, what does she need? What is the item? What is the frequency? And what is the duration? My job is then to do the research to determine what's the cost. The doctors generally don't give the cost. Now, Dr. Kirkpatrick's different. He's an expert in his field. He knows the cost. So he gave me the cost for certain things. And so the very last thing I would say is that last paragraph in my narrative is really the 500-foot view. It's the top-level view of what we're about to talk about. And what I did was I separated her care plan based on everything I reviewed into categories of care. And then there's six categories of care, big categories. And then within those categories, there are a couple of items each. And that lays out the entire trajectory or roadmap to her recovery.
I'd like to pause for a moment, Your Honor. May Mr. Whitney write these down at his seat there rather than going through putting them up, the numbers.
That's fine. Just be wary of sight lines. If yes, members sir. Of the defense need to move to either over there or over there, that's fine.
Whatever. Do you have something to write with?
Yes. I'm ready.
Okay. So, am I on the right page here to trial exhibit 2343009, beginning your life care plan? And this is not in evidence at this point, Your Honor.
Mr. Grant, are you asking me a question?
Yes, yes.
No, I would say you should be on 2343007.
I'm sorry.
Page 7.
Okay. If you could, then. Go through, please, the opinion. And are these opinions to a reasonable medical probability?
Of course.
Right.
And starting with the paragraph, I think it's the second to the third.
Right.
The life care plan includes three options. That's what I'll be reading from.
All right. And so what is the first option in the best case scenario?
So the life care plan includes three options for long-term needs. The first option is the best case scenario, and the total value of this scenario is $2,499,597, period. There are two options for the worst-case scenario. One outlines the cost to privately hire caregivers, and the other option outlines the cost to hire caregivers through a home health agency. We call that private hire versus an agency. Period. The total value of the life care plan in the option where caregivers are privately hired is $6,660,597, period. In the option where caregivers are hired through a home health agency, the total value of the life care plan is $8,063,077. The value of the life care plan options have been calculated using simple math. The values have not been calculated to present value, as this requires the service of an economist, which you heard from earlier today. So that's the 500-foot view.
All right. And these were provided to the economists that the jury heard from earlier.
Absolutely.
Okay. So now I'd like you to explain to the jury, because they heard from Mr. Tramp earlier about the 100% loss, if you will, for Maya, and then the 50%. And could you explain how they interact with these amounts?
So what Mr. I'd be happy to. What Mr. Tramp was
outside the scope of his report.
I'm not sure I understand.
More live courtroom coverage of the Take Care of Maya trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.